Today on Real Life Radio.
Bold announcement of the gospel. You need salvation and I'll save you, says Christ. Sin dresses up exactly like what you want to hear and see and then stabs you in the back every time.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, Part 5, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of the local church. Any local church standing and striving together in truth cannot be defeated by Satan. When Christians have a bond of peace through the power of the Holy Spirit, the faith of the gospel message spreads. As ambassadors for Christ, having one mind and one purpose, Christians can offer the good news of God's salvation to a lost and hostile world. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how Paul encourages the Christian not to be moved by the world's attacks or threats, for the world will use us to leave us broken. Instead, we are to put our trust in Christ, who can wash our sins away through His blood by His dying on the cross. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible now tells us that as Christians, we are being deployed as ambassadors into a hostile world. C.S. Lewis put it so well. C.S. Lewis said that we have, as believers, we are now with Christ because Jesus, when he came, listen, landed in enemy-occupied territory. And Jesus has been advancing the gospel, and Christians have been gathering. Christ followers have been gathering to him. Watch. And Lewis talks about how we too now, having been converted to Christ, we are his ambassadors, and we are marching forward. Watch, this is our warfare. We're marching forward very, very carefully because we've landed on enemy-occupied territory, meaning Satan is and his emissaries work this globe. We're here now. Think of special ops, right? We're all special op guys, and we're like this, you know. And what are you? Christian? I'm a Christian. What do you mean? Well, this is my Bible, right? And these are the implements of our warfare, which are not carnal, but spiritual. And this is the armament. I'm suited up. I got the helmet of salvation. What's your goal? What's your strategy in this? Thank you for asking. We are tiptoeing around this hostile world, looking for men and women and boys and girls to give them hope, to give them life. Because you know what? The enemy has taken this territory and he's killing people. He's blinding them and destroying them. And we are following in the footsteps of our commander, our chief, who said the enemy has come to rob and to kill and destroy. But we with him have come to give life. We watch it. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And for that, Paul would say, we're united. Because it's all about him. It's a powerful truth. And then listen, resilient. Look at verse 28. Resilient against a world that is condemned. Wow. A relevant Christian is resilient against a lost world. And we know this. It has no answers. The world cannot answer your spiritual quest, your spiritual hunger. That's why it's got to do with the drugs, sex, and all that stuff it's got to do. It's just looking for meaning. But it can't answer you. And secondly, we are resilient against a world that's condemned. This world's condemned. I mean, I know this is a shocker, and you just came off the holidays, and it's early and a beautiful day. It's all condemned. God says it's condemned. And we know it's condemned. Watch. And not in any way, verse 28, terrified. Circle the word terrified. By your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Wow, what's he saying? Mark this. And not in any way, This is a fun statement. The word actually means in the original Greek language, no, no way, not ever, not going to happen. It's a super double negative on this. It's awesome. Look, he's saying the relevant Christian understands that he's resilient against a lost world because the truth of the matter is there is no way, ain't going to happen, never is this going to prevail against us that we'll be terrified by our adversaries. It's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit won't allow it. But what does that mean? We won't be moved or scared against the world's threats or attacks or influences, trends, or policies. This is important. Because for you and I, this sounds so foreign to us. I just saw on the news this week, maybe you saw it as well, it was one of the big news channels. They were interviewing a terrorist expert. And he said, let me tell you why the world is scared. And he went on talking, and I got where he was coming from, but that's not the reason why the world is scared. The reason why the world is scared is because it cannot identify the fact that there are spiritual invisible powers now in play. And the believer knows this. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those in the world who can take your life. That's nothing, he said. But rather be in awe, fear God who can take both your life and even throw you into hell. Wow. We get too fixed on the temporal. There's a lot more nasty going on behind the scenes. It's a world condemned. And the word terrified here is an amazing word. I love this word. You guys check this out. The word terrified, it is the word that describes the rare and unusual flinching or hesitation of a horse going into battle. I love that. Listen, you guys, a horse goes to battle. Did you know that a horse will run to battle? The nose, by the way, of a horse, the nostrils, it's weird. When there's a battle, swords, bombs, guns, the horse's nostrils intensely get large, the horse's eyes get big, and right at that, you might say, well, so do mine. My nose, at those things, my nose gets big and my eyes get big. Yeah, but the difference is the horse runs in toward the battle. We would tend to run away from the battle. A horse, if you're on the horse, you're going to the battle. It's awesome. Boom, or clanging of swords, and the horse goes, yeah, let's do this. Isn't that amazing? Look at that word now. That word tells us you don't need to be terrified. But listen, in a rare, the word means in a rare, unusual case, a horse would hesitate going to battle. The word is don't hesitate. In the face of the world, Christian, you don't need to hesitate. Right now, the world, even the Christian, is under the yoke of fear. So many people gripped by fear. And to some degree, I should say, all of us have some form of a poison of fear in us. I talked to a school teacher recently that really wanted to take a stand for what's right. And they told me, and maybe this is your life as well. The school teacher told me, if I take a stand for what Jesus wants me to stand for on this, the union will come against me. I'll lose my retirement. I'll lose it all. That's scary. Sin works like that. The world is condemned. That's why it's acting like it's acting. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, stop blaming God and don't let anybody get away with blaming God anymore for the condition of this world. I'm sick of it. Well, if your God is a God of love, then how come? Stop right there. The Bible says this world is as it is because man rejected God. We are reaping what generations have sown. So no more blaming God. It doesn't fly. Sin's at work. I remember years ago, it was many years ago, I worked 13 years for a company, it's called Edward Life Sciences now, Baxter Healthcare at the time. You guys, we used to do all kinds of experiments. We would build stuff, we used animal parts, and we used animals sometimes to develop these things, and it was just an amazing job. It looked like Frankenstein's laboratory, I kid you not. It would terrify you if you saw it. It was awesome. I mean, it was amazing. And listen to this. For years, we're working. We have our ties on. Well, we put our lab coats on or take our, but you know, we got just like lab coats. Sometimes gloves, sometimes not. But we're using human blood and we're developing these things for critically ill heart patients. And so we've got to first of all design this stuff. So we're going through all this stuff. And then, you know, there's blood everywhere. It was a mess. And way back when, it was nothing for us to you know, wash our hands, walk over to the lab counter and take a drink of coffee or, you know, eat a cookie or whatever and come because once the experiment gets going, you can't stop. You got to keep going as long as the blood's living. And so we're working and working. Okay, and then all of a sudden, it's the weekend. And we come back to work. Monday's normal, Tuesday's normal. Wednesday we come to work and the lab is closed, shut down, taped shut. Can't go in there. Why? Because if you remember way back then, in the early 80s, HIV was discovered. All of us had to go get tested. And then when we got to get back to work, we had to use spacesuits. We went from drinking coffee to spacesuits because there's something floating around in there, possibly, because it was all, we had to use male human blood. Male blood has a higher hematocrit, different properties, and it lasts longer for our studies. So it's high-risk blood right now. University students donating their blood. Oh, okay, that's great. So now we're like this, working in space suits. Why? Because there's an invisible thing in there somewhere. And that invisible thing, HIV, is inside the blood, and it's walking around. I'm personalizing this thing. It's walking around, and it goes to the other cells. Hey, hi. It mimics the helper cell, the T4 cell. It looks like it. It goes to the body and says, I'm just like you. And the body goes, the antibody said, okay, good. And the HIV would come up right alongside after winning the deception. I'm just like you. Comes right alongside, and when it gets alongside, there's a little stab into the cell. And when it does that, the HIV begins to replicate. And you get AIDS. It all started with deception. Invisible. It's exactly what sin does. Hey, come here. I'm just like you. I'm just like you. Let's get along. Come here. Let's walk. How are you? Boom! And it spreads. Have you ever seen generational things, by the way? A lot of people are drunks, not because alcoholism's a disease. Alcoholism causes a disease. But people learn response behavior. Your father drank when he had troubles. You grew up watching your father drink when he had troubles. So the first trouble you encountered, you went and picked up a bottle because you were trained. That's how you deal with troubles. You don't have a disease. You have a learned response behavior. Why? Because that's how we're programmed. Thank God, generational sins the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about generational sins being shattered when Jesus Christ is infused. Jesus doesn't come along and say, oh, hey, I'm just like you. I mean, okay, boom. No, that's what sin does. Jesus announces himself. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of the world. Hey, everybody, I'm not in secret. Everything I say publicly. Everything I do publicly. Come to me and be saved. And sin tiptoes around and stabbing you with deception. Big difference. Bold announcement of the gospel. You need salvation and I'll save you, says Christ. Sin dresses up exactly like what you want to hear and see and then stabs you in the back every time. So be careful. The Bible tells us regarding this adversary, this proof of perdition. Christian, your life proves to the world that they're in trouble. In John chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, Whoever believes in him, Jesus is speaking, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Yes. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The world does not believe, friends, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Wow. And then finally, we end this, verse 29 to 30. A resilient against a world that will hurt you in the end. Friends, listen. The world will use you and leave you broken. For to you it has been granted, verse 29, on behalf of Christ, to not only believe in him. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand up. Just keep it up. And also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. You can put your hands down. We can't pick half the verse. I want to be a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. Follow Jesus. Awesome. And then when somebody comes along and says, you're an idiot for being a Christian. What a loser. What a knuckle dragger. What a fill in the blank. Notice, they're not criticizing your shirt or your dress or your shoes. They're attacking you because your association to Jesus. Did you just have a Thanksgiving? Were you with unbelieving family members? Did they hate you for your witness? Even if you just said, I'll pray for this turkey. And then you prayed for Uncle Bill. No, I'm kidding. even if you dropped a verse in the conversation at Thanksgiving, yeah, you know what? Jesus or the Bible says, oh, brother, what are you, some one of those Bible thumper guys now? Are you a Jesus freak? Yeah, you know what? I guess so, whatever. I just know that I used to live for me, never happy, because I was never happy because I wanted everything in the universe, couldn't get it. It was all about me. And now it's all about him. And that bugs people. Just know this. As sweet as your family members are, your neighbors, we are ambassadors to speak to them about the love of God. They're condemned. We used to be condemned. Do you remember? I remember. In fact, I have to fight. I don't want to remember. When those images pop back up in my head, I got to fight them away. But it's because I'm new. And I want to ask you today, you know what? Do you want to be new? It's true. I'll be honest with you. If you don't, if you just want to cruise and do whatever feels good, and he who dies with the most toys wins, and you want that to be you, then just know that your life is very short-lived. It ends in total destruction. It doesn't go well. But what about today? You realizing, you know what? My life is unfulfilled. I have this cloud of guilt over my life. I'm afraid that someone's going to find out what I am or what I used to do or just did. Or I just have this thing inside that I just know I'm alienated from God. God's not much in my thoughts. And Pastor, I would agree this morning. You know, you mentioned that word condemned. I mean, I think, yeah. You heard twice today that for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son. That if you put your trust in him, that is lean, the word means to lean on him, to sit down. You walked in here today and you sat down and not one of you thought for a moment, man, I hope this chair can hold me. You didn't think that, did you? That's exactly the word that God says that you and I are supposed to have for Jesus. To walk on in and just lean on him like that. Oh. He wants you to put all of your weight upon him. See, Jack, okay, I think I'm wanting to do that. But you want me to come back after the new year? Because I'll make a new resolution. I'll clean up my act and then I'll come. Don't do it. it's impossible. Because unbeknownst to you, God's been keeping a record since you committed your first crime against the God of heaven. There's a list that he's been keeping. It's a list of condemnation of sin. And that can be blotted out in 1 second by the blood of Jesus. I wonder sometimes if all of the sins that Jack had committed were, I wonder if they were written down in red. Because if you apply red to red, what's written goes away. Have you ever seen top secret documents? You know what color paper they're on? Red. Because you can't copy what's on it. I thank God that Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, washes my sins away and no one can copy it. Amen. Satan doesn't have a copy of our sins. Isn't that great? I love it. Let's take time right now to pray. And I'm going to ask you today, if you're finally now willing to surrender to Jesus, this is a holy moment. I'm going to ask you guys to remain seated. Don't disrupt anybody. Don't ask someone to, sorry, excuse me, whatever, I got to move. Don't, this could be a salvation moment for somebody. Christians, be praying. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. And I'm going to ask you right now, I think it was made pretty clear, you're not going to go to heaven without Jesus. He died on the cross for you. That work of his requires your repentance, that is to agree with God that you've sinned against him and that you want him to now govern your life. I am not asking you to join a church, faith group, or religion. I'm simply the middleman pointing you to Jesus today. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you sense the conviction of God that you need to do this. Will you raise your hand, whoever you might be? You're saying, this is my moment. I know it. I got to do this. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you as well. Anyone else? God bless you. Several of you in the back to my left, over here to my left on the aisle as well. You can put your hands down. Right where you're at, you just simply ask Jesus in these words. You can frame your own words, but just, let me suggest that you say, Lord, I'm asking you now to forgive me. I need a new life. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. Jesus, I'm opening up my soul to you now, and I'm inviting you in to my life. I'm asking you to transform me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead for my justification. God, be my God from this time forward. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you have discovered how God's presence brings joy and comfort into every situation. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I'm always excited to get into the same room with my friend and my pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Hey, I have to know about our book of the month, and I want to hear it straight from you. Tell me about Turnaround at Home.
One word, personal.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is a book that Lisa and I wrote. It's very personal, and we're very happy to announce, by the way, that the Turnaround at Home book was the last book that Pastor Chuck Smith wrote an acknowledgement
for. Is that a fact?
Or the foreword.
Yeah.
He actually wrote the foreword, and so we're happy about that. But the book talks about marriage dynamics, difficulties, strengths, and how to change things that you think are going to destroy your marriage. How do you turn those things around to actually make them stronger points? So thus the book, Turnaround at Home.
And this is the book of the month for January, Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.